Started, it is 6:30 PM. This is a meeting of the Streets Committee of Sylvania City Council. Tonight, present is myself, Patrick Richardson is Chair of the Streets Committee. Committee members Sean Murphy, Doug Hanem, and Brian McCann. The rest of City Council, Mary Westfall, Marcus Hansen, and Lindsay Stowe are also present, as well as Mayor Mark Bryan, a number of the administrative staff, and of course, a number of people from the communities. Thank you all for being here. Tonight's meeting is to discuss the downtown improvement project. When we set this meeting, there was some specific questions about the Maplewood main light and some other subjects may come up, but I wanted to start with a sort of background to bring us all up to date so we're on the same page where we are with this. So the traffic light at Maplewood and Main was put in the 1970s when there was a major state route running through Sylvania. The city has been seriously discussing this project for a number of years. We've had a number of public meetings on this. Just so we're on the same page, there was a Streets Committee meeting in April of 2022, a stakeholder meeting in August of 22, a City Council presentation in December of 22, public open house in February of 2023, a second public open house in April of 2024, and the project finalization was discussed at a council meeting in November of 2024. So these were all the public meetings that we've talked about the specific project at. And our goal with this is to slow traffic and to make the area safe. You know, on a personal note, you know, my family, my friends all use this intersection in this part of downtown all the time, and it's definitely our goal to make sure this is as safe as possible, and I think I can speak for everybody up here when I say that. With that, we're going to kick it over to our service director, Mr. Shaw. He's going to discuss some more details on the studies that were done.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Richardson. And glad everybody's here. Open to questions. I'm going to keep my stuff kind of brief, just because I know you guys have questions and I'm here to prepare you guys to answer whatever you guys want to talk about.
Could you speak up, please?
Yeah, sure. Actually, why don't I come up front too? Yeah, so I'm here kind of for you guys to answer questions and bounce some ideas off of me. The only stuff that I kind of brought prepared to discuss was just on traffic signal, because that seemed to be kind of the hot button issue that people wanted to talk about. And we had two that were in the project limits, the full project limits, Main Erie and Maplewood and Main. Like any traffic signal that we do in town, you have to run those through what's called traffic signal warrants. And that's kind of through the Ohio Department of Transportation. There's specific guidance that we use. It's called the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And a specific section in there discusses just traffic signals. So how you go about it, what data you need to collect, what are you looking for, whether they're warranted or not. And so, like I said, on all projects that involve traffic signals, we did that. We collected traffic in July, towards the end of July on a particular day. We used the midday of the week to try to use the most people in our downtown footprint on a nice day, and collected traffic based on that. And like I said, I brought my information on warrants and happy to go into detail on what each one of those does, but there's nine of them that you plug the traffic information into and then you review. When we did that and looked at all of the nine of those warrants, some are applicable to our intersection, some are not. But when we did that, it failed all the metrics for the traffic signal warrants. So, hence the recommendation was, what can you do? You can remove it, you can put a two-way stop, you can do a four-way stop. We elected to go with a four-way stop because I think it meters traffic a little bit better in all directions. And so that was the direction that we did. But like I said, I got information if you want to know specific about the warrants, but other than that, I'm kind of here for you guys to ask as many questions as you want.
So going forward, if you do have a question for Mr. Shaw, to keep things orderly and for the record, as you come to the podium, that way your voice is picked up by the mic. State your name and your address for the record, and then we can address your questions from there. So if anybody does have a specific question and want to come forward and ask, this would be your time to do so. Please step forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Doug Ettinger. I live at 6630 Erie Street. Number one, just for clarification, I understood from the city newspaper that the roundabout is out.
That's correct, at Main and Erie.
Okay. One thing that I talked to you about before, and you disagreed with me, probably still do, but I don't know. I think maybe some people here are gonna have, I'm not going into any details, but the first thing I noticed when I went to the meeting where they had the initial presentation of what was gonna happen was how narrow the traffic lanes looked.
Can you speak up a little bit?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
The first thing I noticed on the diagram is when they had the first presentation of how all this was gonna work, was how narrow the traffic lanes appeared to be. Was that sort of an optical illusion, or are the actual traffic lanes going to be narrowed?
Well, narrow is, you know, up to what you think is narrow, right? So.
From what they are.
The same manual that we use for the traffic signals we consult with on our lane widths for this. In order to maximize our pedestrian space as well as our vehicular lanes, we use 11-foot lanes in the design.
Okay. My question on that was, is there still gonna be some margin of safety when people step out from between cars before they're picked off? Now there is. As you know, people go out between cars, between those seating areas or whatever they are. And there's, you know, there's space there to where if they're about to be hit, they have a chance to pull back, or and or a car can maybe stop. Is there still going to be some margin of safety there? That was my initial concern about the street.
Yeah, we put two mid-block crosswalks in the design. I know that doesn't, you know, if you're parking not near a mid-block crosswalk and you want to jaywalk across the street, I mean, you can do that. But what I can do is try to provide the best, you know, common crosswalk spots in the design. And so the first block and the second block, right in the middle between both of those blocks, we put a raised crosswalk. So that's an elevated, kind of almost kind of a speed table type of a thing. That's where we obviously want, we want to see people crossing, but that's
speed bump.
Yeah, it's like a speed, it's called speed tables, is what I would call it. Yeah.
But that's a good point, because the way it's set up right now, you've got that crosswalk,
sure,
which is inadequately marked and everything as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, the point is, on the one side of the street, you enter the crosswalk between those seating things. And you don't appear to drivers until you get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's something that needs to be taken into consideration. And a related thing is keeping the sidewalks clear. Because snow is not always removed immediately. And if it's not, you either walk in the street or you don't go through downtown Sylvania.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up snow, because it's a really good point. Our businesses are responsible for the sidewalks themselves, but a lot of them will push it to the roadway piece where we can try to capture it and remove it away. This is gonna be a unique footprint and probably gonna require us to modify how we do snow removal in our downtown footprint.
I would think
It's gonna be a big learning process for us, and we may need to look at a different piece of equipment or what other strategies that we can do. But it's definitely something we've talked about in our staff about, okay, how are we going to manage snow in our winter months with this footprint?
I don't know that 11 feet sounds too small to me. But you do have to, I think you have to take into consideration that there are going to be times when people feel they have to walk.
Sure.
And you have to have some way. The only other thing I'm going to say is the one thing that you talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at this whole thing, considering that intersection with the stoplight has a bar on each corner, and during any kind of event is swarming with people. I don't think there's any good answer to that, frankly. But I think we're gonna find out. But for things like that, I don't see how you can keep the speed limit at 25 miles an hour. With everything squeezed in, more and more people all the time, some of them somewhat intoxicated because they've been getting refreshment. I just can't see 25 miles an hour. To me, that would be like putting 40 or 50 miles an hour on Erie Street. You mentioned something about traffic studies. I think whatever the hell it takes, you've got to lower that speed limit. That's just my opinion.
So prima facie state law is 25. That's as low as you can go in post. There's, the state wouldn't recognize anything lower than that. Now, I do know and I recognize that Maplewood and Erie do have some posted speed limits that are lower than that. I can tell you, you're not enforceable by state law though. So 25 is as low as you can go. And I do think, to your point, I do think traffic is going to be slowed down enough that I don't think people probably will go, especially in that first block, I doubt they're going to go 25 miles an hour.
Well, not many people will. Not many people do now. But again, this isn't the old days. This is the time of hundreds of people swarming around these intersections. I mean, I've driven through there. Some event, I don't know what it was. There were people packed from the curb back to the building, densely. If somebody gets jostled or jumps or is pushed, they're in the street. And I just think you better have whatever you need to do. If you need to put 6 speed bumps in instead of 2, I think if you have people, and there are always going to be some that are going through there too fast. And I just think the margins of safety are going to be much less, and it's just going to get worse and worse. And also, I think those busy times, there may not be many of them, but those busy times, I think you're going to have an awful snarl of people from all directions thinking, what do I do now? It's the guy on the right has the right of way, right? Okay, blah, 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 blah. But with also a crowd of pedestrians swarming all over the intersection, using all those crosswalks, trying to coordinate that with all that traffic. I don't know. I think you may have to close Monroe Street or Main Street more than you do now for any kind of event, and or have a bigger police presence where an officer can call for help and say, we've got to shut this intersection down until we can get an officer there to direct traffic. I just think that occasionally it's going to slow traffic all right, probably all the way back to Monroe Street. And God knows that's not something you want. I guess that's about it.
Thank you for your comments. I think we all definitely want this to be safe, so we appreciate that. Is there anybody else from the audience that...
Is it okay if we come up together?
Please.
We live together.
Bonus.
You should be identified by yourself.
It's a bonus for him, not for you.
I know.
Good evening, Council.
My name's Pete Diver at 5745 Phillips. This is my wife, Christine. Same address.
You can call me Chris.
And I just wanted to start off by saying this, we're all here, we represent the community is, we don't represent the community, but we are part of the community. And the goal that we have is to ensure that the downtown project is successful for the city and for the community. That's why, and the major thing I think we're dealing with here is the traffic light. In regards to Mr. Shaw, there is a, and I'm not sure which warrant this would be, but it's in regards to the 90-day study of a removal of a traffic light.
It's not a 90-day study. It's what you do is you, if you're going to consider removing a traffic signal, you talk about putting those signal heads covered and you put up your stop signs in advance. So let's say I'm in Berkey. And I have a traffic signal that was in Berkey, and I wanted to eliminate, or the data suggested that I should eliminate the traffic signal in Berkey. And we wanted to study that more. What it says is you would cover the signal heads for 90 days, evaluate, see how things go before you make those permanent improvements.
Okay.
So we've done the study piece of it, so we kind of know in advance what it is. This piece is like, okay, I'm thinking about it, mostly in a rural town is where you would see that pop up.
But why wasn't it done the way it was supposed to be done? Actually, because that I think would tell more than...
So it's going to be in construction. So the signal, when it gets ready to go dark, the heads will be covered and they'll put up stop signs and it'll just set. So we will take kind of a recommended measure towards that way in order to slow the removal of it. the engineering study that we did takes care of that. It looked at pedestrian counts, it looked at that stuff, and it ran it through, if I'm not mistaken, I think Warren Forest peak hour for pets. Didn't meet the threshold for that either, and that's why it wasn't recommended.
So pedestrian count was taken?
Yeah, we counted for 12 hours for the entire day. And so you can look at 8-hour periods, you can look at 4-hour periods, and Warren's, we had the data, and the pet counts were there.
Is the data on the website?
That is in a spreadsheet that is available on public record. I've had one individual in the room request for it, and he has it. So if you want to see the Warren analysis, you can.
Prior to this, we were under the assumption, or we were told that
a pedestrian study hadn't been done,
and that the traffic hazard
study had been done. Instead, I think the warrant number one calls for 8 hours, and the July, I got it here somewhere.
They were both, the traffic was collected for the 12-hour period. And so it was funneled into warrant one, it was funneled into warrant two.
So it wasn't just done 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours at evening?
It's the analysis period. The traffic is actually counted for the full time, and then you harness out of that data your piece, what you need to look at for those specific ones. And that's what was done.
Okay.
We'll look at it. You got that study?
Can I speak?
Use the podium, I think that's
not up, please.
We might be back. Well, I guess we're not going.
You can stay with me. Anthony Haddad, 5819 Brainerd. I think that the question I have about the warrant is, if all the data is not in the warrant, and when warrant one needs 8 hours to be satisfied, then how do we...
So they don't actually put all the data in the warrant, they have it, and then they take the data that they need to satisfy those particular warrants.
So was warrant one not satisfied by the data that they had, or was it not even considered?
All of the warrants are considered, none of them were satisfied.
If there's not data in the warrant, how can that be?
I didn't prepare it, Andy. I don't know the answer to that. What I can say is my traffic engineer collected the data for 12 hours. And they put it into the appropriate spots in the spreadsheet that they needed to do. I didn't prepare the spreadsheet myself. I'm not a traffic engineer by any means. But I can assure you, they followed chapter and verse what needed to be done. So not maybe the best answer you're looking for, but at least I know what they did.
That helps. And I think maybe there's some question for the engineers. But I think the point that we're trying to make is there was only 4 hours put into that sheet. So I think only one or two of those warrants could have been even considered. And the time frames were not in line with previous traffic studies. So there was a Timacock traffic study done in 2021. And I don't have the data in front of me, but the AM peak hour was somewhere around 11 to 12 PM. And in this particular study, it was, I believe, in the early morning times. So at least to me, and with my limited understanding of the warrant sheet, it doesn't seem like there's enough data there to say we need to remove this signal.
And that's okay. You're welcome to your opinion. I will trust my traffic engineers that looked at it. I confirmed with her last week that she had all 12 hours of data. All 12 hours of it was used in those specific. Whether it was in that spreadsheet, exactly how maybe you were looking for it, I don't know that. I have confidence in my traffic engineer that looked at it.
So was it my understanding that the traffic signals are not going to be removed right away? They're going to be covered?
So Main and Erie, nothing, right? We're not talking about that one, so take that one off the table for this project. It's not even in phase one.
Right.
Phase one, we just had this conversation today. Like, what's the best way to unfold this thing? And we talked about covering the signal heads and putting up some stop signs. That may happen as quickly as this week. You may see that happen, maybe Thursday, because that's when our MOT zone is supposed to be set up. And then we'll just let it probably roll with some stop signs in there. And I think that's probably what you'll see.
We were just talking about that today.
Are we the first ones to be concerned about the safety? Has anybody else prior to our group brought this up?
Well, I, to your point, Chris, at least I'll speak for what I heard in five meetings that we had. I think we need to talk about taking away a traffic signal. It naturally inherently raises your eyebrows, right? Like, okay, how are people going to move through the intersection? How are heads going to cross? But that's why they have the 9 standards that they do, right? That's why you look at all of those and you collect the data and you throw it in. And there's no manipulation on my half. If it told me the signal needed to stay, the signal could stay. We put the data in and it said not only was it not warranted, it wasn't close on any of the warrants at all. So it wasn't even something that was teetering back and forth, and if that was the case, we probably would have erred on the side of caution and put it in. But I'm a data guy, I'm an engineer, I kind of have to be, and none of the information that was collected suggested it should stay.
So those warrants have to be done prior, I mean,
yeah.
I forget how I want to say this, that you didn't go into the project just assuming it was going to stay the way it was. You had to do the warrants to determine what was going to happen.
We do every single one that we have. Actually, you know, when we looked at the signal that's going in at Flower Hospital, that would have worked well as a roundabout. It's going to be a traffic signal, but it ran through all the warrants, and I think it was warrant 1 right off the bat because there's so many vehicles that run through that. Triggered it right away. Good to go. Now let's design the signal. But on every single one that we look at, we do. I've got actually 3 in Sylvania that don't meet the warrants. This is the one that we're talking about tonight.
And it's ODOT that needs to be satisfied with these warrants?
No. They provide the standards. So the Federal Highway Administration provides what's called the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices. They set the standards, and then they allow each state within the United States to pick and choose, like, I want this sign to be reflected here, or, you know, we want to change this little piece of the standard, and then Federal Highway and ODOT go back and forth on that. And then the state says, okay, this is the manual that we're going to adopt. And so this is what everybody around the state refers to when it goes to traffic signals, because those 9 warrants. That's the standard.
Kind of with the traffic signal, several of us residents have kind of been meeting just to kind of discuss this and hear other people's views. And as you've stated, that it's a traffic calming measure to narrow the lanes and put in the stop sign and that. And we've got several residents that live on Summit Street, which already they say they speed down there. And their concern is that now traffic will go down Summit Street instead of Main Street. Have you guys thought about that? And another thing, somebody had mentioned in the group that the 3-ton, I believe it's a 3-ton load limit sign that was on Summit Street has been removed. Did the city remove that?
Yeah, I could have an entire different discussion on load limit signs in our town. I don't know.
Was that removed to encourage truck traffic down there? That's
not clear. It's erroneously placed. You know, when I came into this, those signs always bothered me. They need to have an application and a place to be. There was a practice that we put load limit signs up where they shouldn't go, just to keep trucks away. That's not how those signs are meant to be. They're meant for specific load-bearing requirements. So, for example, Bruin Roads Bridge by Kroger, that's posted. It's posted for a reason on a weight limit, because bridge has reverse camber in it, so which nobody here probably knows what that is, but it's that way for a reason. Shriver Ditch on Erie Street, again, it's a posted structure. 3-ton load limits on all of our roadways is not applicable, because my pickup truck weighs 5,700 pounds. I'm just able to drive on the street. It's not applicable. So we've made selective choices on where we need to start removing these signs because they don't apply. That's a long-winded answer, but a whole other topic that I've got.
So on Summit Street, trucks are allowed to,
yes.
And it's residential neighborhoods.
Legal load on any street to even be on that.
So the car haulers would be going
up and down Summit Street, legal load, we don't want car haulers. Chief Miller and I talked with chapter and verse about ways to curtail that operation and stuff that are trying to get them out. But if they are a legal car hauler load, yes, they can be on Summit Street. It's based on axle spacing, you know, it's heavy, but it's also based on the number of wheels they have too, and how far apart those are. And there's a lot that goes into it, but a car hauler is a legal load of auto.
Addressing some of the large truck concerns, part of that is they may be a legal structure to be on Ohio highways. We also have truck routes in the city that are posted, and you'll see some signs posted that show no trucks turning right on Main at the intersection at Monroe and at Summit. Those are there for a reason. Those are not considered truck routes. Those trucks are okay if they're coming in to make a delivery to our downtown area, to Northview High School, to Highland School, and the most direct route for them to get from the highway to the place they're making the delivery, yes, that can be. If they're using our city to cut through to get to their point of delivery in Berkey, if they're using it to cut through to get to their point of delivery or pickup up at the test track in Michigan, no. They are not legal, and I have been talking and working with training our officers to identify and to stop these vehicles. And just in the last two work days that I know that I've been here, there's been two, one a car hauler and one another box semi-trailer that was stopped that were going into Michigan.
So, on Main Street?
Not on Main Street. One was on, take that back, one was on Main Street going north, and the other one was on Monroe Street headed for Erie. So we are proactively out there trying to get to the truck drivers and advise them of this and advise the companies that are outside of the city. If they're using these trucking companies, they need to be alerting them to the fact, because we are taking enforcement actions on them. So if they are seen on Main Street, on Summit Street, we will be stopping them.
To her point too, there's been a lot of changeover in that industry on car haulers. A lot of language barriers that have developed from the different people that are starting to do that. So you get a lot of changeover in it, you get new drivers that aren't familiar. Just when you think you get somebody accustomed to not coming through Sylvania, you get another one that comes through Sylvania. It's been a challenge. She's worked very hard at trying to curtail it. So.
Can anything be done to slow down the traffic on Summit Street?
We do put speed boxes up, and we do measure from time to time. I don't know when the last time was that we did that. Last year. We did those. And
one of the residents asked if speed tables could be put up.
Speed. Again, if the data suggests. So our speed pump criteria has got to be, there's a couple steps, right? You got to do a petition to see who wants them, number one. You got
to know how it starts. You have to have a petition.
Yep. So, a good example would have been Cushman Lane. We were over there a couple years ago. We did a water line project, and we did some resurfacing. They had speed bumps. Came out with the project, didn't go back in. Let everybody know about that. They circulated the petition. Did not have enough residents that wanted them to be put back on the street, so they didn't get put back. That's step one. If you do find enough residents that want to have speed bumps put in, then it goes to the engineering side of it, where you collect speed data with our speed boxes, and you look at what 85% of the cars that use that were collected, what they travel, and if that is over the posted speed limit amount, then there's some measures you can do to do that. So it's an elaborate process, but
sounds like
there's.
This same resident that had asked about it was
told that it couldn't be put up because of emergency vehicles, that fire trucks wouldn't be able to go down Summit Street.
That would not be something I would look at.
Okay, so that's not an issue.
So I want to make sure we're making good use of everybody's time. We do have a full meeting of council starting in a bit, so I just want to make sure we get to everybody. Is there anybody else in the audience that has a specific question regarding the downtown improvement project about something that has not been discussed yet? If so, please come forward and address yourself. We got one back here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
we've got, let's let him say his piece and then, or you, yeah, you wanna?
So, can I go?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Hello. I'm Diane Bieber. I live on Main Street, 6030 North Main. I just have a few quick comments. First of all, thank you that you will not put the roundabout in. I have been worried and scared to death. I live down, close to the Michigan line. I cannot back out of my driveway when I have to back into my driveway. Sometimes I go around the block so I can back into my driveway. Cars are going, they're picking up speed once they get past the intersection. So I did not envision any slowdown with the roundabout. Thank you very much that you're not going to put that in. Does a four-way stop work? Is it really a good deterrent and slowing people down? No. If you want another study, go over to Erie and Summit Street. I use that intersection frequently. That's a three-way, allegedly, that's a three-way stop. No, people do not stop. I don't anticipate people to make a complete stop here at Maplewood in Maine. I really don't see it. There is also a sign that says no turn on red. I guess some people are blind or aren't paying attention. They're still making a right turn on red. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe walking downtown if you're going to turn it into a four-way stop. I do have a question though. I'm afraid the powers that be are going to do this. Is it just going to be the stop signs, or will you at least put a blinking red light to help people pay attention a little closer?
Good question. Plans don't currently call for them, but that'd be something that we could obviously monitor and see if it helps.
And I would like you to just do a little, just park over yonder over there and count in an hour how many people make a complete stop. I do. I was a professional driver, so I do pay attention.
But I see too many people. And anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you. And that could be an enforcement issue, and I'm sure the chief would, you know, this being the center of our downtown, that would be something we look at enforcing.
Correct. Once the, still for a second thing, and once word does get out, then people will be more attentive here downtown. I do not want to have fun with Dora and try to cross that intersection if it's a four-way stop. So you either want people to have fun or don't encourage Dora. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, for the record, you know, the concern being with the current way it is, a green light, somebody could be could try to speed to beat the light. If every car knows they are stopping at the intersection, the goal here again is to slow traffic to make it safer. That's what we all want. So thank you for that. Now, sir, Mike.
Just real quick, since signs were mentioned, this city needs a lot more signs. It's going to need an awful lot more signs with this project. You got to tell people how it is and that you really mean it. There's a signage problem. There always has been with that no turn on red sign. One, you can't see the sign. So the reason. But anyway, all through this thing, all through Main Street, as soon as you cross Erie Street, you need signs. And I mean big signs, not little pretend signs.
Door signs.
Maybe flashing yellow lights 24/7. You gotta let people know they're coming into a congested, possibly dangerous area.
and they're going to slow the hell down or else.
Thank you, thank you. Is there anything else from the audience? Again, anybody that, something that's not been spoken about yet, please.
Good evening, thanks for letting us have this meeting. I'm Deb Chaney, 5736 Summit Street. So we are the couple that are concerned about the speed that is on Summit Street. It has been, and we've addressed it several times to the different chiefs. With the traffic being diverted to Summit Street with the construction and then afterward with all the redesign, we know that traffic is going to be diverted to Summit Street. Right now, it's an issue. When they leave Monroe Street and head towards the north to get to Erie, they go as quickly as they can. And if they're coming from Michigan, and when they make that three-way stop, they got to get to Monroe. I guess the fact that we are, my understanding is there's going to be a speed table on Main Street to help slow down and help with the safety issue.
Two of them, one in the first block, one in the second block.
Would it be feasible to do something like that on Summit Street for the safety issue to help slow down that time from Erie and Summit to Monroe and Summit? It's a racetrack with all kinds of vehicles, cars, trucks, and we have an increase of families on the Summit Street, especially from the middle of our block to the past year, with little kids. And it's great to see that transition from the older generation to the new, but it's a concern. And so I'm asking for their consideration of, I know they put up the speed calculators, but it's all times of the day, it's all kinds of vehicles that are having the speed issues. So for safety, if it's safety you're concerned about, we would like to have that to be considered, to put a speed table, put it in front of my house, if you will, because we're kind of between, we're right in the middle between Monroe and Erie, and they just take off. So that is an issue for us. I don't see it decreasing. I see it being an increase with the increase of traffic. And then my other concern was that with the increase of traffic and the trucks or the larger vehicles, is there an allocation in your budget to take care of Summit Street with the increase of traffic and the load? Is it built for that?
It is. It's going to be resurfaced this year, too. Summit and Silica and Erie, between Main and Summit, are all bundled together into a resurfacing project.
I read that, but is it going to be to the point where it's going to be able to handle that increase of traffic and load levels?
I mean, a resurfacing project wasn't done that way. We looked at the existing pavements that are there. I will be honest with you, on Summit Street, when we looked at the existing pavements there, we're probably in the realm of rebuilding portions of that. In this particular pavement cycle that we're in with that road, resurfacing is the button that we're pushing with it. In my time here that I have left in Pennsylvania, I probably will be doing some type of more invasive work on Summit Street, mostly because it's bad soil. It's not necessarily because of trucks. The trucks don't help.
Mm-hmm.
But it has really bad soil, and it could use a beefier pavement section in certain spots.
Okay, those are my concerns. Thank you very much. You know, we want to see everything to be successful. And I know that Summit Street is part of the downtown, and we want it to be continue to be part of the assets of Sylvania. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Danny Fuller, 5639 Main Street, business owner. I just wanted to just state on behalf of the business owners in downtown, I sit at my desk. I'm not in my living room, I'm not a resident, but I'm sitting in my front window at the gallery every single day. And what I watch is the minute the light turns green, people coming off of Monroe heading north speed up, and my heart drops every single time. I know with a stoplight that is going to slow people down. 5 years ago, we had a couple incidences during the first Friday where cars were speeding up like crazy, trying to hit the light to get through. And everyone collectively was saying, we need to turn this into a four-way stop to slow people down. I have the marks on my hand from three family members who were killed in an automobile accident when they sped up to try to make a light. It can be very dangerous when there are a lot of people out there. So I understand opinions are like noses. We all have one. but I want to make sure that the residents understand why even if something like this would have even been proposed by the business owners on Main Street. I don't think it's just a matter of warrants and all the information that you're receiving, but it's watching people speed up every single day to try to make that light. I think it's extremely dangerous. If you head to any smaller towns anywhere, you're going to see a lot of pedestrian walking, and you're going to see a lot more stop signs. To the point of the blinking light, I think it's actually something to consider. It hadn't been thought of before, but I might just add that too. But I just wanted to make sure there's opinions on both sides of it. And there's a reason why we have strong opinions from either side, but watching it every single day, people speed up and they go very fast down that street and they rev their engines and it gets pretty dangerous. So on behalf of the businesses, I just wanted to make sure I brought that to your attention.
Community group, to your point, I have a presentation I'm giving at another streets committee meeting on March 3rd. It's on roundabouts. But that topic that you just touched on with traffic signals and people speeding up to go through green lights, that's built into my presentation. It's a good observation and one that I think gets lost sometimes, but I'll elaborate more on that next Monday.
Thank you.
Or 2 Mondays.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, please.
My name is John Moss. I live at 6823 Maplewood. What we're really concerned about, I think, is the stoplight at Main and Monroe, or Maplewood. And we haven't covered this as much as I think we should have. My feeling is that it's a speed table goes in, and it goes in where the crosswalk is now, basically at Chandler's. There is no way that anyone can speed down through Main Street to try to make a green light. If those stop lights are still there, as we are hoping they will be instead of the four-way stop, that speed table, because the speed table will probably be as wide as maybe 10 or 12 feet, whatever that crosswalk is now. There is no way that a car can speed from Monroe Street to Maplewood to make that light if there is a light still there and there is a speed bump there. We're not talking about the speed bump from Maplewood to Erie. We're talking about the speed bump from Monroe to Maplewood. And that in itself will be the calming feature that this study is purported to try to address, trying to calm the traffic on Main Street from Monroe to Maplewood. If that those lights are taken out at Maplewood, there is not going to be nothing but congestion. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like. When Joe said that the lights will be covered, let's cover them for maybe 60 days so you can have a good feeling what is going to happen with four-way stops there, because that four-way stop is going to not be needed if there's speed table is put in, and if it's not put in until the lights are taken down, it's going to be chaos there. That's all I have to say. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Yes, please.
I have perhaps one final thought. In the event that the traffic light is a failure, because as it stands, there's only been 3 accidents in the last 5 years at that intersection of Maplewood and Main. In the event that this thing is a failure, somebody gets hurt or there's congestion problems, who is responsible, and is there a remedy for that failure?
I don't know how to answer that. There's can be crashes at any intersection. I don't know that I'm personally responsible for any of them that show up at any of our intersections. I certainly can try to mitigate them the best way that I can. Crashes is one of the warrants that's looked at, one of the nine. And you have to have five in a 12-month reporting period, and we didn't have that either. I don't know how to answer your question. I'm the service director. It's our.
But there can be a remedy for a problem that happens there if it does. I hope it doesn't.
And let's say you're right and there is. I don't know that putting a traffic signal back is going to do it. If it's particularly related to crashes, you've got to meet that metric to get it put back. If it does, and that metric is there, okay, maybe that's the case, but it doesn't change my understanding of it. I look at each signal the exact same way. I treat them all the exact same. Run them through the warrants, do they meet it? I'm sorry, this one just, it just doesn't, so I don't know what to say other than.
I mean, I think anecdotally, you know, I think the city's always evolving, and I think we all know that nothing is permanent. You know, I mean, this signal was put in the 70s. You know, before that it was something else, and I'm sure someday it'll be something different, too. And I don't think any of us are setting anything in stone that can't be changed in the future.
If it has to de-evolve.
As populations grow and different things happen, and you know, who even knows if we're going to all own cars in 20 years? I mean, you know what I mean? So who can predict? But I think we as a council and as a city are committed to making sure that we keep up with those advancements and make sure that everybody is safe for the time being.
Mr. Richardson?
Yes.
Something else I'd like to add is that what Mr. Shaw has been emphasizing is that we've been following all of the standards and protocols that are followed by every other city within the state, and by following those standards, if someone was hurt, it's because there's something wrong with the standards. But if we were to deviate from the standards and then someone got hurt, then that becomes a bigger issue in which we did not do something right. And I live on Main Street myself. I understand the way that people speed up quickly, but I also know that those standards are in place for a reason, and this whole process is in place for a reason, as frustrating as it can be at times. But I guess from where I'm sitting, I'm not yet comfortable deviating from that standard in this circumstance, because I'm not yet convinced that if there were an accident because of that deviation, that I would want to take the responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think by virtue of narrowing that one block, I think that's going to take care of the speeding issue. There's not room to be speeding through there now with the narrowing of the street 3 to 4 feet on each side, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that without looking at the plans, but you're right. There's definitely a narrow.
Sure. So, yeah, I hope that, you know, I don't know that the traffic light is the speeding salvation or the narrowing of the street, but I guess we're going to have to see. We're go from there.
Thank you.
And
we do have, Lucas, we do have a council meeting starting in about 10 minutes. So, I want to make sure we have time if there are any other members up here of the committee or of council that have any comments or questions that they want to add, or anybody from the administration for that matter.
Mr. Richardson, I do think that you've done a great job with the meeting, but I want to make sure that all of the people present understand that your voices have been heard and that we will take a careful look and consideration for these views and try to determine if there's any other way we should be looking at that particular location so that we have considered all angles. I know that the administration has done a great job of trying to make sure they stay within all the standards. But if something new has surfaced, we would certainly take that into consideration.
Well said. Yeah, please. Just so you get picked up on the mic, we need you to come forward.
Ms. Stow, you mentioned standards. I think that's the biggest issue here. So as Jill mentioned, we don't have the data. We don't have the 12-hour of traffic data. that is supposed to be put into the form. I'll also read from the Ohio Manual of Traffic Control Devices. It says, if changes in traffic patterns eliminate the need for traffic control signal, consideration should be given to removing it or replacing it with appropriate traffic control devices, if any are needed. If the engineering study indicates that the traffic control signal is no longer justified and a decision is made to remove the signal, removal should be accomplished using the following steps. There's A, B, C, D, and E. I won't read all of them, but D is flash or cover the signal head for a minimum of 90 days and install the appropriate stop control or other traffic control devices. Remove the signal if engineering data collected during the removal study period confirms that the signal is no longer needed. So at this point, we don't have a 90-day window where there's going to be normal traffic. So to me, that's a major concern. And again, when you look at the data that we have in the traffic warrants, which Joe provided me, it only shows 4 hours. Again, we don't have the necessary data to determine the removal.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anything else? Is there any other comments or questions before we adjourn and move on to the full meeting of council?
Joe, I've heard you address Anthony's comment, and your position is the data is there and it's all been.
It is. They have 12 hours of data, and how it gets pulled into and what they harness for each of those particular warrants is up to them. It's a working spreadsheet. It's how they do it, but they use all of the data for those particular ones. Like, I can't answer this particular question because I'm not the guy that did it. But the traffic engineer used all the data. Yeah.
We'd appreciate it if you would check with your traffic engineer and get back to us.
We did. I before we even had this meeting, I said, show me the data. Do you have it? Did you collect 12 hours? Yes, I have it. It's in my vision. If you need me to grab it, I can.
Okay, great. Thank you.
It was used.
Maybe this has already been asked and answered, but I could not hear the answer. How are pedestrians supposed to get across Main Street from Maplewood, where now there's a crosswalk? Pedestrians have the right of way. How are they to get? Are they to walk to the middle of the block and use the one crosswalk that's there and hope people? They cross their fingers and hope that the traffic stops and allows them to go.
As far as right-of-way, correct me if I'm wrong, but the pedestrians will continue to have the right-of-way both at the middle crosswalk and at the crosswalk at the intersections. So with the stop signs, the pedestrians will always continue to have the right-of-way.
What does that mean exactly? If there's a four-way stop, you just get to walk in front of anybody?
Yes, if there's a car stopped there, you would walk in front of them and the car would wait for you to clear before it continues on legally. That's how four-way stops or how stop signs work all across our community. Did I answer that correctly?
Make sure, perfectly. Sir. Yeah, it's state law. If a pedestrian occupies a crosswalk, a vehicle needs to stop.
So the pedestrian has to stand in the street?
No.
You just said if they occupy the
what I said was, if you're going to make an attempted move across an intersection, you observe traffic, what's going on left and right. When you feel like you can enter the crosswalk and you feel like the cars that are approaching you have stopped, you enter the crosswalk and you make your move. And from that point on, once you enter it, you have the right of way. The vehicles don't, anybody else around you don't, you do. So that's how you would cross. You just like you would at Bonnybrook and Club, you know, in a residential area. You would do the same way.
It's a little bit different at Bonnybrook, I would think, than it is at Monroe.
But the principle still applies. Doesn't matter, really. The principle still applies on pedestrians in a crosswalk.
When you have a light that you can press the button, the crosswalk says you can go, the traffic light says the traffic has to stop. That's what lets pedestrians feel safe. I would not feel safe trying to get across the street when there's cars at each one of these four stop signs. You may have the right of way, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to get hit.
So there's Mrs. Fuller's point. I will go over that at my streets committee. I would invite you to come on March 3rd. I have a difference of opinion on pedestrians and how they use signalized crosswalks. It's inherently in their nature with how you operate there. I find them less safe myself, but I'll go into that chapter and verse on March 3rd. But I disagree with you.
Okay, and I disagree with you.
Sure.
I live on Maplewood. I see that crosswalk in use. I see people push the button. So if they can use it to safely get across, that will be gone.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, as we wrap up, I want to thank you all for being here. I know taking time out of your evening to come and speak and listen is great, and I know that you all want the best for our community, and I know we all want everybody to be safe, so thank you for taking the time to be here. As we mentioned, there is another broader conversation on March 3rd regarding roundabouts and traffic, if you want to come to that. Those are all posted on the city website. With that being said, is there any last-minute questions or comments from members of council? All right, then.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to adjourn. All committee members in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned at 7:26 p.m. Thank you.